Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for your word. We thank you that your Holy Spirit inspired these scriptures to be written, and that same Holy Spirit works in our hearts to lead us into truth and understanding. And we pray that your Spirit would give us a greater understanding of your word. Help us, Lord, to understand it, to obey it, to live it in our lives this day, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, folks, please be seated. I wanted to raise the question this morning of how people come to Christian faith. Do they just wake up one morning and think, oh, I think I might become a Christian today? How does it work? Does it just happen like that automatically? Do people sort of suddenly just feel the need to become a Christian? Clearly, becoming a Christian is a work of God. It is God who primarily calls people to himself through the work of the Holy Spirit, touching people's hearts. But yet he does this by using people like ourselves, who might say to another one, can I tell you about Jesus? Can I share the hope that I have with you? Inviting people also to discover for themselves who Jesus is. And this is something we see time and time again throughout the scriptures. And today in the few short verses we had from John, we see how John the Baptist sends his own disciples after Jesus. He points his disciples to say, this is the one I was talking about. We then see how Andrew brought his brother Simon to Jesus. And if we were to continue with the following verses in the reading, we'd see how Philip then, found by Jesus, then brings his friend Nathanael to come and see Jesus. And each of these people was invited by another to come and see for themselves, to discover who Jesus really is. And we see how the congregation of faith, how the church grows through this, and how we are given a model to follow of how also we can share the hope we have in Jesus with others around us. But let us begin with the testimony of John about Jesus and our first point just on the next slide. And we begin with John the Baptist pointing people to Jesus, giving testimony about who Jesus is. I wonder, do you have some form of testimony about Jesus? You know, the Apostle Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3, he says, always be ready to make your defence to anyone who demands from you an account of the hope that is in you. Yet, do it with gentleness and reverence. He encourages us to be prepared beforehand for that moment when we might have the opportunity to share the hope that we have in Jesus. And it's worth pausing to think about what we might say in such a moment as this. And it might be a bit different for everyone. In John chapter 4, there is that well-known story of the Samaritan woman at the well. And after her long encounter with Jesus there in John 4, she goes running back to her village. And she simply says to people, come and see the man who told me everything I've ever done. Could he be the Messiah? Now, John the Baptist's testimony was a little different to that. He begins by telling his disciples, here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John tells everyone that Jesus is the one who will give his life for the sins of the world as the spotless Lamb of God. And this is really important testimony about Jesus. People had all sorts of ideas about who Jesus was. Some thought, yeah, he's a great teacher, an amazing healer. He tells good yarns. He's a miracle worker. He's a nice guy. But first and foremost, he is the Saviour, God's Saviour, the one who would give his life for the sins of the world to rescue us for God. And secondly, John affirms that he knows that Jesus is this Saviour, the Messiah, that he's been announcing, that he's been waiting for, because God had told him, the one over whom my Spirit descends and remains is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. And when John saw the Holy Spirit descend over Jesus, a bit like a dove descending, and saw that Holy Spirit remain over Jesus and heard that voice from heaven saying, this is my son, he knew that Jesus was the Son of God. He said, I know it because I saw it with my own eyes. We can share what we have seen or experienced Jesus do in our own lives, or maybe in the lives of others close to us. And it can be helpful to even put together these thoughts into a simple little, maybe 1 minute testimony as to what we know about Jesus, why we believe in him, what is the hope that we have in Jesus. When someone asks you, you're happy today, well, why are you looking so happy? Or how can you remain so peaceful in these difficult times? Or just give us an opportunity to explain something of the hope, of the faith, of the joy, of the peace that we have because we trust in Jesus. And we're reminded in that passage before I read from 1 Peter, not to be too aggressive, not to be too preachy about it, but rather to be gentle and respectful, and simply to share the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Sometimes, though, we get a little bit critical of people who are always talking about Jesus or who seem a little bit too preachy. But let me put it this way. It's better to say something than to say nothing at all. How will people hear unless the good news of Jesus is proclaimed? Well, thirdly, we see that John says, on the next slide, I think, that he has seen and he will testify on his life that Jesus is the Son of God. But how can he be so sure? Well, we also know that there came to that moment in prison where he was still having a few doubts, but he had heard the voice from the heavens declaring, "This is my beloved Son, in him I am well pleased." He'd heard it straight from the mouth of God. He was able to speak of what he had seen and of what he had heard. He was given, you might say, a unique testimony. Many of us can't say, well, I saw the heavens open, I saw the Spirit descend, I heard the voice of God. But we can share of the things that Jesus has done in our lives, of the things that God has shown us about Jesus. Well, as we go to the next point, we see that John the Baptist soon tells those who were with him, including Andrew, to follow Jesus. And John's mission was not to make disciples for himself, so much as to prepare people to become disciples of Jesus. And so, not surprisingly, when he sees Jesus, he points his own disciples to follow Jesus. And we're told that one of these was named Andrew, and we soon discover that he was in fact the brother of Simon, also called Peter. And John had it very clear that his task was to point people to Jesus. He himself had now become somewhat of a celebrity. People were coming out by the hundreds to be baptized by him at the River Jordan. It would have been tempting for him to make them all his own disciples and say, "Stay with me, my precious ones, you belong to me." But rather, he pointed them to the one who was greater. He pointed them to Jesus. In fact, when his disciples were worried that Jesus was gathering more followers than John was, we read in John chapter 3 from verse 28, he says to his followers, "You yourselves are my witnesses that I said, I am not the Messiah, but I have been sent ahead of him. The bridegroom is the one to whom the bride belongs, but the bridegroom's friend who stands by and listens is glad when he hears the bridegroom's voice. This is how my own happiness is made complete. He must become more important while I become less important." So when Jesus appears, John rejoices, announces him to be the Lamb of God, the Son of God, and points his disciples to go after Jesus. And we see the following day that these two disciples went straight after Jesus, walking behind him. So much so that Jesus turned around and said, "What are you looking for, you fellas?" Well, these two were devoted disciples of John who had turned from their sinful ways, had been baptized by John in the rivers of the Jordan, and they were looking for God's Messiah. And now John, the one who is the voice in the wilderness, has pointed them to the Messiah, has pointed them to Jesus. Well, Jesus didn't say a lot as they said, "Well, we want to know where you're staying." He simply said, "Well, come and see." You see this phrase coming time and time again through the gospel, "Come and see." In a sense, Jesus was saying, "Well, come and see where I'm staying." But in a much broader sense, he was saying, "Come and see for yourselves who I am." You may remember I read before that same phrase from John 4, when the Samaritan woman said to her neighbours and friends from the town, she said, "Come and see the man who told me everything I've ever done. Could he be the Messiah?" Andrew goes and discovers for himself who Jesus is. And this is part of what we're called to do, to be pointers, to be signposts that say, look, I think I found the Messiah. Come and see for yourself. Discover for yourself who Jesus really is. Well, we see that these two disciples that left John were seekers. They spent the day with Jesus. And by the end of the day, they knew. They knew in their hearts. They were convinced. In fact, Andrew, so excited, races off to tell his brother Simon and announces to him boldly, we have found the Messiah. You know, people have been waiting for centuries, been waiting for decades, all their lives, and he's able to say, we have found the Messiah, filled with joy. Now, some of you last year participated with us in the Alpha course, which we ran over in the church hall in the evenings. And Nikki Gumbel, who was the presenter of that course, likes to tell the story. A man who was interested in becoming a Christian, he liked the idea of following Jesus, but he'd seen some of these Jesus freaks, you know, knocking on doors and, you know, bothering people, these God botherers, and he didn't want to become like them. He didn't want to be one of these people who was always telling everyone all the time and preaching. And so he said to God, look, I really want to be a follower of Jesus, but I don't want to have to go telling people about it all the time. You know, is there some way I can become a Christian without telling everyone about Jesus? And the story goes, at least, that God thought about it for a moment and said, I know that I normally do ask people to be my witnesses, to tell others about you, but I'll make an exception for you. You won't have to tell anyone. And so the man decides, yes, I'll become a Christian if that's the deal. He puts his faith in Jesus Christ. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. And what does he do? Goes racing downstairs to tell the whole family, do you know what? The best news, I've become a Christian. And God has filled me with his Spirit. And the best news is, I don't have to tell anyone about it. But in the midst of all that, of course, there's a bit of irony. But the fact is, when we discover Jesus, when the Holy Spirit fills us, we want to tell others of what God has done for us. And Andrew, filled with his joy of discovering Jesus the Messiah, races off to tell his closest ally, his brother, Simon. He wastes no time. Had Andrew done a course in evangelism at this stage? No. He'd been with John for a little while. He'd only just met Jesus hours earlier, but already he's going to tell others, come and see this man. Could he be the Messiah? And something that we discover is that when people first discover Jesus is when they're often the most enthusiastic about telling others. New believers are often the first ones to share their faith with other people because they still have many family and friends who are not Christians yet. They're excited about the newfound faith and they want to tell everyone about it. And they've had a significant event change in their life that people can see. New believers, those who just come to put their trust in Christ, create opportunities for evangelism as they bring their friends along. And we see that much of the growth in new churches comes from people who are willing to go and testify to others and say, come and see Jesus. See what he's done in my life. Let me tell you a bit more about the hope that I have. Being willing to invite others. Now, you may have noticed that not all churches are like that. In many churches, we have people who, for perhaps many years, maybe for 20 or even 50 years, have not told anyone of their faith, have not shared or invited anyone to come and see Jesus. And churches like this, where we're not willing to talk about our faith with others, are churches that will stagnate and eventually atrophy and die. Churches that are growing are those where people are willing to go and to say to others, come and see, discover what Jesus is all about. I'm excited about Jesus. I want you to know a bit more about him. And this is what we do. Now, I don't know if anyone's ever noticed what our motto, if you like, as a church called St. James is. If I just do a little bit of a hint here. What are we on about here at St. James? To know Christ, to serve Christ, and what's the third one? To proclaim Christ. This is part of our mission as a church, to proclaim Jesus Christ, to invite others to come and see for yourself who Jesus is and to discover that he is in fact the Son of God. Now, another course I've done sometimes is called Christianity Explored, and this presents the idea that a healthy church is built on three foundations and uses the example of a stool. Has anyone ever seen a three-legged stool? They're handy little stools you can put your feet up on, put a coffee on. What happens if one of the legs comes off? Just falls over. You do actually need all three legs for the three-legged stool to be functional. And in this metaphor, if you like, a healthy church is the three-legged stool, and those three legs are evangelism, proclaiming Jesus Christ. Secondly, prayer. And thirdly, studying and learning of God's word. And in a sense, saying in a church where there is no proclaiming, where there is no evangelism, the church stops growing. No new people come, and the church eventually dies. And in a church where there is no prayer, the source of power is cut off, and the church withers. And in a church where there's no proclamation of God's word or study of God's word, the church has no food. It starves spiritually, becomes weak, and dies. And these three core activities are what bring health and vitality to a church. They strengthen each other when they're found together. They feed off each other. When we read God's word, we're encouraged to pray and to speak of Jesus to others. When we pray, we're encouraged to know God more through his word and tell others of his work in our lives. And when we tell others of Christ, we know that it is only through prayer and through God's work in their lives that they will come to faith. But back to Andrew for a moment. There's not a lot in the Gospels about Andrew. He's there in a few key moments. But probably one of the greatest contributions he made was to bring Simon, Peter, his brother, to faith. Peter, of course, was to become the first leader of the church and a great missionary, evangelist, and author of many of the various of the letters and Gospels, even in the New Testament. And so Peter made this tremendous contribution because Andrew so enthusiastically went to him and said, "Peter, come and see, we have found the Messiah." In fact, the Gospels were written, the New Testament was written, so that we might discover Jesus. John puts it this way in John 20, verse 30, he says, "Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." So like John the Baptist and like Andrew, we are also called to point others to Christ, to invite people to come and see Jesus. And as they see Jesus and hear his teaching, he will call them to faith through the Holy Spirit. Now some will reject this calling, some will reject this message. And Jesus warns us that will be the case. But many will also turn to Christ, put their trust in him and become children of God. Friends, we are called to be witnesses to Jesus. But it is God who does the work of convicting people's hearts through the Holy Spirit. Nevertheless, we are called to play our part, to call others to come and see Jesus. Just to think about for a moment as we conclude this morning. Who is it that God might be calling you to talk to about your faith, about the hope, the peace, the joy that you have in Jesus? If you're not sure, maybe you could ask God to show you and ask God to give you an opportunity to simply, respectfully and gently share the hope that you have. Let me pray. Lord, help us to be witnesses to Jesus Christ, the Saviour. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Help us to be able to speak naturally of the hope, the joy, the faith, the peace that we have by knowing him. And Lord, we pray that you would use us also that others might come to know and to experience this same joy. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.